For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
Okay, so we're focused on why and how in that order. I'm going to make two quick introductory points before we jump into the why. Number one is that we are at a historical disadvantage for memorizing. Now, I think sometimes people think, oh, it used to be really easy to memorize. I think it's always been really difficult to memorize things, but even more so now. We really are. I mean, I can remember, there's a very specific point in time where I stopped remembering phone numbers. Like, I have some of my cell phone numbers memorized, and then I got a phone that had storage, and I've never memorized a phone number since then. It's a very specific point in my life. And I've really lost you really lose the skill of memorizing because of the world we live in. And so we are at a disadvantage here. To see, like, I'm going to make some radical progress in Bible memorization, you're at a disadvantage. I'll say one comment on it. You're going to need to find ways to limit your IT usage. There's no way you can be absorbed in all the things that train you not to memorize, and then to be like, okay, in this one area, I'm really going to get good at memorizing. I don't know what that looks like for you. That's not the point of this workshop. In fact, was anybody in here right before this? The workshop right before this by Kate Mizell. That's what you want to listen to, because that's the point of that one. Second introductory point. I'm not talking about memorizing isolated topical verses. For instance, we do this in our classes we teach here at this church. So maybe you've got to memorize these four verses on Christology, on why Jesus was God, and it's Colossians 2:9 and Philippians 2:5, and so they're just isolated and they're topical. I love that. I think it's really important. I think it's useful. That's not what I'm getting at here. Instead, I'm talking about memorizing a paragraph of Scripture, maybe even a whole chapter, maybe even a whole book of the Bible, to memorize straight through. And the reason for that is when you do that, you're ensuring the proper contextual understanding of the book. It's not just some isolated verse that you might be taking out of context. It's definitely, you're going to know the context very well. You're going to memorize the context. And for that reason, it's a really edifying way to learn and study the Bible. Also, in my personal opinion, it's easier to memorize a chunk of 15 straight verses in a chapter than to memorize 15 isolated verses about a topic. You will do better at getting Scripture in your mind. You don't need to think of the references. You know that it's the next verse after it. It's probably verse 4. Okay, now I'm at verse 5. You're not thinking about these, like, meaningless references in the sense that, okay, chapter 2, verse 21, that means nothing in one sense. You don't have to do that when you memorize straight down, plus you're following a flow of thought. It's easier to do that. So I want you to think about that as how you're going to go forward from here and try to do some hardcore memorizing. Okay? So we're doing why and how. We'll start with the why. Why should you add Bible memorizing to the many, many things that you already do? This is going to be tough. There's a lot going against you being able to do well here. You'd have to put a lot of time in this. Why should you do this? This argument better be quite strong or you're never going to do it. Well, I got a few reasons. Number one, this is how you can meditate on Scripture day and night. This is from Psalm chapter 1. This person's delight is in the Torah of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord. And on that, he meditates day and night. How can you do that unless you have some Scripture memorized? Think about what all day long, every day, your mind is flying. You are thinking, thinking, thinking. What if at least part of that was the Word of God circulating around in your head? How else are you going about, like it says in 2 Corinthians 10, destroying speculations, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? How can you really do that unless you've got pretty large chunks of the Bible memorized? You're not always going to have that Bible sitting with you to think about it, to meditate on it day and night, like we're told to do. Or think about the Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 11. You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead. So get them on the external somewhere. But then he goes on, you shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And then you shall write them, back to the externals, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. We do this, right? We get our refrigerator magnets, and you know, little posters that have it. And that's great. I do think that's kind of the application of this verse 20. But this part right here in the middle, how do you do this unless it's the memorized word of God that you're talking about all day long? When you're going here, when you're driving, when you're with your children, when you wake up, when you go to bed, it's the memorized word of God that's on your mind all the time. The Hebrew children really had to take this seriously. From ages 6 to 12, Hebrew children were expected to try to memorize the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. And not everybody did it, but that was the idea. And then at your bar mitzvah, you'd celebrate, wow, look, you've gotten the Torah memorized. And those would go on as a teenager to memorize the rest of the Old Testament then. That was what they did. They had this crazy belief that this was the actual word of God, and it was important, and it was good, and therefore, of course, you should get as much of that into your brain as you can, so that that's what you're thinking about day and night. Why should you focus on memorizing and take radical steps here? Look, you've only been given one book to master. Have you ever thought about it like that? Look at this thing. That's not that much. This is the only book we've been given. And so when 2 Timothy 2 tells me I should be diligent to present myself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but instead accurately handling the word of truth, there's some truth to that. It would be shameful if in an entire life as a Christian, decades of following Christ, I can't handle this accurately. And I can't work my way around this when I'm not staring at it. I think there's something to that. Or in the next chapter, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So the idea that this is the main purpose of how I get trained to do everything God's called me to do. And this is it. I've been given one book. At least part of that's got to be memorizing large portions of it. I think of it like this. Imagine that you're Leonardo DiCaprio, and you've been told, okay, you're going to play this character part, and there's only one biography written on this person. Here you go. How many times would you read through that book? How much of large sections of quotes would you memorize, preparing yourself for that role? That's what we're thinking about here. You've got one book. The way I like to think about it, I'm 38 years old. I think I've got about 35 more years of like strong, real, intense Bible learning. So I've memorized a certain amount at this point. What am I going to do the next 5 years? What am I going to do the 10 years after that? I want to think about it that way. This is a limited time I've got. And by God's grace, he's only given me one book. This is it. How much of this can I master? How much of this can I memorize in that period of time? Why should you fight to memorize scripture? You want to have the Bible on the tip of your tongue. It's similar to the first point. Think of Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Why did he put that adverb in there? Richly dwell within you. He wants the word of Christ so deep in him that what comes out? With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You should be like a sponge that is so filled with the word of God that if someone accidentally bumps into you, the Bible comes out. That's just, you are so filled and it's on the tip of your tongue. In regard to advising others, a few years ago, I was on a flight out to Los Angeles to see some Christian friends of mine. And I hadn't prepared very well, and it was a cheap airline. So I had no phone, I had no TV, movies. It's a 4-hour flight. literally all I had was my Bible. And so I was like, all right, I guess I'm just going to go through all the old stuff I've memorized and see how much I can still do of that. That'd be fun to try. And I did that for hours on that flight because it's not that commendable. I had literally nothing else to do. And I'll tell you what, for that 4 days that I was in California, God opened so many doors where I'm in a conversation with someone. Boom, scripture popped into my head. I'm trying to explain why I'm in a church that does something a certain way. Boom, scripture popped into my head. Counseling, encouraging, admonishing. It was scripture over and over again. Then I got on my flight home and I had a nice movie and I had, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get back into that, but it was such an important lesson for me that the memorized scripture puts it right up front and I'm thinking about it and I'm ready and I can actually help people. I can actually do this. I can counsel, admonish. I can admonish and I can teach with wisdom because the word of Christ is richly dwelling within me. As well as thinking through personal issues. I want the word of Christ on the tip of my tongue. Recently, I've been thinking through a lot of my self-righteous and judgmental attitudes I've had. And I was one day just sitting down with a pen and paper, just wanted to write and journal and think a little bit. And two scriptures that I've memorized in James chapter 4 and Romans chapter 2 just popped into my head, both about judging and real specific points about that. I just thought, man, I would have never thought of those if I hadn't done the work of the memorizing. And in thinking through personal issues, God has rewarded that by bringing the memorized scripture back to my head. This is why you should fight to prioritize memorizing scripture in your life. Why else? Better understanding of the scripture. It forces you to slow down. You have to stop and think of each individual word. Some people like to write out scripture because that forces them to slow down. That's great. You want to slow down even more? Memorize it. Because that's even harder. It takes even longer. So you slow down. You remember every single word. And memorizing will help you to understand the scripture better. You'll notice things that you didn't notice before. We're trained to read quickly. I mean, we just are so used to it. We read so much every day for work, for entertainment, for whatever. We're trained to do that. And you stop and you try to memorize something and you notice things. Things stand out that you hadn't noticed before. Maybe there's a phrase that gets repeated in another chapter. I recently worked through memorizing the book of Galatians, and I was near the end of that book, and I got to right near the end, here in chapter 6, verse 13. It says, "For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so they may boast in your flesh." And I was thinking, wow, that reminds me of something that happened a couple chapters ago. Where was that? And I'm thinking it through, trying not to look. I think I had eventually looked, but it reminded me of this verse back in chapter 4. Talk about these same false teachers. "They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them." It's a very similar point. The false teachers are using you. They want to boast in how they've gotten you to follow law. They want you to have to seek them. I saw a pattern there. I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And then I moved on to the next verse. And in chapter 6, verse 14, it says, But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And I was like, wait a minute. That language sounds really similar. And then it reminded me back of chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. So he's telling them, you crucify the world. Crucify that. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. And I was like, okay, let's keep going. I got 6:13 down. I got 6:14 down. What's 6:15? "For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." I was like, I definitely remember this verse. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." And so I started making these connections. The end of Galatians 6, which I've just passed over so many times, actually is summing up some of the major themes from earlier in the book. And it's through the work of memorization that I started to understand that. And now I really value that last portion of Galatians 6. Some of those verses have been the main verses on my mind. I thought through that quite a bit. Memorizing helped me to understand the text. You start to ask yourself, why did he write it in that way? You want to remember it. And so you need to understand it. So you ask, I wonder why he wrote it like that. Let me think about that. And it forces you to get deeper in your thinking about the scripture. And what's better than that? Understanding scripture. So again, memorizing actually helps you to understand scripture better. Also, why should you memorize scripture? Re-memorizing scripture is very edifying. So you put in the hard work that first time around, and you're like, okay, now I've got this chapter of the Bible memorized. I could say it word for word. I don't really understand it that well yet, but I could say it. Then you go back and re-memorize the second time, months later maybe. You go back and re-memorize it a third time. Each time, I promise you, you're going to see new things. It is going to be so, it's the most edifying way I study the Bible. When I sit down and try to go back through a passage I already memorized, you're like, oh, I've tried that. It's so discouraging. I forget it all. You forget it for a minute, but then you get it back and things will pop out that you didn't notice the first time you memorized. You're like, man, God is speaking to me here. I remember doing this once with Ephesians chapter 3, and I couldn't remember this one verse. Over and over, I kept trying to remember it. And finally, I thought about it deeper, and not only did I remember it, but it became one of the most important verses in my prayer life for quite a while after that. Talking about in Christ, we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. And I just thought about that in my prayer life. God, I have boldness to you. I can have confident access to you. It was the re-memorizing of scripture that got me excited about a verse that I had already memorized previously and just hadn't thought too deeply about. It's one of the great, great benefits of memorization is that you get to re-memorize it and learn it all over again and get new, exciting things thought about that. And then finally here, why? Well, it's one way to be goal-oriented in your personal Bible study. You think like right now, if someone were to ask you, what are you studying in the Bible right now? Oh, you know, I'm jumping around a lot, been reading some Psalms here and there. I think maybe I'm going to do John next. You know, it's just you feel like I don't really have much of a direction. I'm not like being real purposeful in this time. What if you're like, I'm going to memorize the book of Colossians, and that's my goal. And I'm going to set out to do that, and I'm going to push for that, and that's what I'm going to do. That's the next 6 months or the next year of my life. That's my plan. And I'm going to work through that book, and I'm going to know that book as well as you can know a book. That's one way to be goal-oriented in your time with God, to be purpose-driven, to make the most of your time, redeem the time, like Paul says. That's one way to do it, not the only way. But it's another benefit of memorization is that you're really moving somewhere. You're doing something there. So there's my list of the why. I don't know. Hopefully you're on board with me and you're like, okay, I am walking out of here and Monday I'm starting and I'm going to work through this paragraph that I'm going to do here. We'll get more specific into what to do with that later. But again, this is the key, is the why. Why should you do this? You've got a lot going on in your life right now. You really have to think through this list here. And you got to think, is this worth it? You got to count the cost. And if you think it might be worth it to give it a shot, you jump in, and I bet you're going to see a lot of victory in your memorizing. All right, so that's the why. Let's move on to the how. How can we memorize large portions of the Bible? Well, the first answer goes back to what we've already talked about. You have to really be convinced of the why. You're going to have to go back to that list a lot. And in fact, you're going to eventually have to make up your own list. As you start to memorize and see benefits, you better mark those and think about that, because this is not easy, as it says in Hebrews 12:11. Some of us might have this verse memorized. What is this? All what for the moment? Suffering? All memorizing for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. You see, that's the original Greek there. You didn't know that. No, that's not true. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this with scripture, but it's true. All memorizing for the moment does not seem joyful, but quite sorrowful. But here's the point. To those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So it's never going to be the most exciting part of your day is, you know, getting that Bible out and going like this. Did I get it right? Ah, no, I gotta. It's painful. It's sorrowful. But when you're trained by it, it yields the fruit. So you got to really believe the why. In anything in life, you got to believe the why to do the how. But I think especially in Bible memorization, you're always going to have to go back to, why am I doing this? Is this really worth it? And if you're convinced of that, you will see progress. You can always pray for God to fill you with a hunger to memorize his word. It should be a regular prayer, in fact, not just a one-time prayer. You're praying this. If you're going to take me up on this and give this a shot, you're praying this every day. God, this is hard, and I am no good at this, but I want to do this. Please help me. Give me that desire and that hunger. Fill me with a hunger for this. And then see where it goes from. That's the kind of thing he usually grants. Here might be a good place to start. Again, we'll get more practical later. But look, this is Psalm 1. This is the whole chapter. It's right here. It's only 6 verses. Maybe you could set out to memorize this. You know why this would be a good one? Because it's talking about the benefits of memorizing. So memorize a chapter on the benefits of memorizing. And then when you move on from that, memorize something else. You can go back and pray Psalm 1 regularly so that you could be the person who delights in God's law, and you meditate on it day and night, and you're going to be that tree that's firmly planted by streams of water. It doesn't lose its leaf. The wicked are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives by. I want to be that stable, consistent, strong person who believes in the word and knows the word. So you memorize Psalm 1, and it gives you that boost to be able to continue to memorize, because that's about the benefits of memorizing. That might be a good way to do it. Okay. How to memorize the Bible, point number 2. It's the controversial one. Use your devotional time to memorize Scripture. You're like, no way, that's cheating. You know? Like, I'm here with you, God, but really, I've got an agenda. I'm just trying to remember this text here. It's nice that it feels that way a little bit, right? Like, you've got a side agenda, and you're not just pure in heart before God to be with him. You're trying to memorize something. See, I disagree. I don't think that's how it works. As long as you're the master and your Bible memorization plan is the servant. In other words, you're doing this because you know there's long-term devotional benefits. You're going to be closer to God. But if for whatever reason it's not working out, or you need a break, you take the break. You didn't reach your goal of finishing the chapter by 2 weeks? Who cares? It's the servant. You're the master. Drop the goal. Read through some psalms that get you intimate with Christ instead. Move back to the goal. Readjust the goal. You have to think of it that way. But all that being said, I think that Bible memorization can and should be part of your devotional time. Not the only thing you're doing. And you go into seasons. For a few months, I'm doing that. And then I'm getting out of it. I'm doing something else. But you can definitely use that time for that. I think especially if you're praying through the verses that you're trying to memorize that day. Even the ones that are like, man, I don't see any application in these verses. Like maybe you get to Philippians chapter 2 and you're memorizing it. And you get to the part where he says, and I'm going to send Timothy. And you're like, how can I pray that to God? You can definitely pray that to God. God, I want to be like Timothy. I want to be someone who serves in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. I don't want to just look out for my own personal interests, but those of Christ Jesus. And you pray the words of Philippians 2, it applies. It all applies. It's Scripture. And so you pray through what you're reading right there as though God is giving you that word for that day. Then you can use this in a devotional way. You can use this as your Scripture before you go forward and pray, if you're thinking of it that way. So I think this, you got to do this. You got to use at least some of your devotional time. You only have so much time to be able to work on memorizing. And again, the re-memorizing, I've got no problem with that because it's so edifying. All right, now the part you've all been waiting for. Come on. Give me the technique, right? What is the 8-minute abs way of memorizing Scripture here? How am I supposed to get this down with hardly any work at all, right? That's what we're looking for here, the quick fix. We're Americans, right? Some of us, anyway. All right, I'll give you a few. This is called Scripture Typer. It's actually, I think it's called Bible Memory now. But you go to, you just Google this and you can get, find a website. There's apps that you can get on your phone. Anybody use this at all? A lot of people use this. Look at that. What are you guys doing here? You guys should go up here, teach us. It's a very organized app or site which helps you memorize scripture. Okay, so here's kind of what it looks like. This is, I'm trying to memorize Ephesians 1:1-23. That's the whole chapter. And so I'm going to type in this little box here. And when it comes out black, that means I'm getting it right. If it's red, that means I missed it. I'm at 94% at this point. I think I'm only in the third verse here, so don't be too impressed. And then you go down, and once you've gotten, I think it's over 80%, they will consider you've mastered it and you've actually memorized that scripture. You can go to these typing options here, and you can, like, I just want to type the first letter of each word. I don't need to know how to spell the word, so I'm just T-U-R, and it'll auto-fill the word for you. Kind of cool. Or you can have it judging you based on speed, accuracy. Do you want to actually type in the verse reference? Do I want to put Ephesians 1:1, Ephesians 1:2, or do I just want to not type it and just type the words? All kinds of good things. Keep going. If I miss it, force me to type it again. You could see what I would obviously pick here. I just want to keep rolling here. So that's a helpful app. I don't use it. And my only problem with it, when I've tried to use it, is it gets me too focused on what I would call not important words that I'm trying to type. So I thought it was there for, and it's for this reason. Who cares? I would consider myself having still memorized if I accidentally threw therefore in there instead of for. Is it Christ Jesus? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it Christ? Is it Jesus? I think eventually I can get to where I've got that right, but that's not important enough for me to stop and make sure I've got that before I feel like I've memorized it, because then I get so bogged down with things like that. Paul changes pronouns all the time. Is it they or is it we? Is it him? Is it... I don't need to, my first time going through memorizing it, get that detail. It bogs me down too much. So I don't like it for that reason, but a lot of people love it, so I'm not trying to bash it here. That's one technique. Here's another technique, the 3x5 note cards. All right? The best one I've heard with this is you get your 3x5 note cards and you write out a whole chapter. So you're looking at it, you're writing it, you're thinking about it, you're saying it, right? You do that in the morning maybe. And then you put them in your pocket and you go to work. And then throughout the day at work, on, you know, when you're doing things that you only need to be about 80% cognitively there, you pull it out and you say, okay. So like Ephesians 1, right? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul, and I just say it over and over and over and over and over again. Pull out the note card. To the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints who are... And just say the next clause. That's all you do. And by the end of your workday, you've done all the clauses in the chapter. Okay? Then you come home, and that night, you memorize the chapter. You're like... No, you couldn't memorize a chapter, right? You've said the actual clauses so many times that you probably could actually work through a chapter in a night. If not, a couple days, okay. And so now you've got the chapter memorized. It's in your head. You quote it every day for a week, 7 straight days. Quote it, the whole chapter, every day. And then you quote it every week for a month. And maybe you think, no, I'll just keep quoting it every day forever. That way I never lose it. That's not going to help. You need to get it from your short-term memory to your long-term memory. You have to purposely not look at it for a few days and then come back and do it. And you won't be able to do it the first time. That's okay. And then you come, eventually you quote it every week fully for a month, and then you quote it every month for the rest of your life. And now you've got that chapter memorized. And you could do this with a bunch of chapters of the Bible, theoretically. It's an interesting way to try this out. I'll give you one more technique, okay? This is from a guy named Joshua Four. He didn't come up with this. He wrote this book, Moonwalking with Einstein. This is an awesome book. You should totally read this. It's about memory. It's people that are in memory championships where they've memorized, like, for instance, the digits of pi, 70,000 digits. 70,000 digits is the world record of pi. Totally random. Okay? You're like, how on earth could you ever do that? So he gives this strategy called the memory palace. Now, the premise is that we have spatial memory. Let me put it this way. Our spatial memory is way better than any other kind of memory we have. Think about it for a minute. Try to think of someone's house that you went into a year ago or 2 years ago, and you've only been in there one time, that time. You're like, I have no idea. If you can come up with one, close your eyes and think about this, okay? I bet that you could walk right into that house right now in your mind. You'd know, okay, to the right was the couch. Over here in the corner was the big clock. Here was the hallway. There was a bathroom on the right, two bedrooms on the left. You weren't trying to memorize that. But you know it all very well. Our minds are built for that. It's similar to directions. We just seem to be able to spatially remember things very easily. So the idea is, if you can match concepts or even words with your spatial memory, you can memorize a lot of things. So one way to do this would be, so you take Ephesians chapter 1, all right? And you think of your house you grew up in. You know that one pretty well, right? And so you're walking up to the front door, and in your mind, you're imagining, who's standing at the front door? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. It says on his shirt, it's Paul, and it says on his shirt, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And so I'm picturing that. He's got a green shirt on, bright orange writing. The more bizarre you make it, the more you're going to remember, okay? You walk into that front door. You're in your, whatever's in the front door of your parents' house is, who's standing there? Those who are faithful in Christ Jesus who are at Ephesus. I can't remember exactly how to say it right now, unfortunately. To the saints who are in Ephesus who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So it's a bunch of saints. And it says, in Ephesus who are faithful in Christ Jesus on their shirts. Lo and behold, you turn to the right, and that's where your parents kept a beautiful clock. Guess what it says on that clock? Grace and peace to you. It says it in like red licorice letters, right? Because it's something you'll remember. Grace and peace to you. And then who's standing right on either side? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You work through the whole house that way. You go into living rooms, you go into the bathroom, you go into the basement, you go into your garage, and you just walk through. It's a lot of work on the front end, but you will remember the words because you've got this memory of all these places, and you put bizarre things and where they go, you'll remember it. He has you do it in the book. He has you do it with a grocery list or something like that. And I did it, and I could still walk through that. And I read this a year ago. This is just how our minds work. So there you go. There's a few techniques. Now I'm going to lay my cards on the table here. I don't use any of these. I don't love them, but this is I, not the Lord, speaking here. I do think that some people, I feel I have more of a gifting for this area and can remember words and numbers pretty easy. Some people are like, I can never remember it. Maybe a technique's going to be useful. My only warning is it can't be the primary thought. Understanding has to be primary. Otherwise, scripture typer, the 3x5 cards, memory palace, all that. That's fun. It's interesting. Maybe you'll win a trivia contest. Maybe you'll set new records on your scripture typer, you know, but that's not the point. If you need primarily your thought is understanding, retention of the ideas, usefulness of the information and knowledge, and then if techniques are helpful, great. If not, pass them up. But it's you got to keep that first. I worry that it'll all be just kind of useless. Until someone says it, and they're like, hey, remember Ephesians 1:3? And then you're like, oh, yeah, but you can't make the connection in everyday life situations. That's my fear of focusing on techniques. So take that for what it is. I don't use them, but a lot of people love them. Those are my thoughts about that. Instead of that, here's what I think your best technique is. Think about it a lot. Think about it a lot. Think about the passage. Again, Monday, you're starting. You're going to memorize Colossians. That is the scripture you're thinking about. That's the only scripture you're thinking about for the next several months. And so you're just thinking about these passages a lot. You're trying to understand why the author wrote it the way he did. Think about his thought flow. Okay, it goes from this point to this point. Why did he do that? You get caught up in a word. I don't understand why this word was used. Do a word study. You compare a few translations. You get to a place where you've thought so much about that word, you're going to remember it. You're gonna understand it. Remember, I said Bible memorizing helps you understand the passage better. Remember when I said that? It slows you down. Understanding the passage better helps your Bible memorization. Now you're really thinking about this, and then you're not going to forget it. You talk about it. Talk about the passage. Are you ever sitting around after a Bible study thinking, man, I wish I could get a spiritual conversation going. I wonder what I could talk about. What if you're like, hey, I've been memorizing the book of James, and I'm at verse 14 here, and I can't figure out why this is here. Why do you guys think it's here? You know what that'll do? That'll be edifying for everybody in that room. You're going to inspire other people to try to memorize the Bible. And I guarantee you will not forget James 1:14. You will remember it. Once you talk about it with someone and hear people's thoughts in the verse, it's going to get in there and it's going to get stuck in there. The only reason people don't do this is maybe they forget, but a lot of times it's like, oh, I'm going to sound so proud that I'm trying this. Who cares? Forget that. That is a great edifying thing for your church, and it's helpful for you to remember and inspires others. Oh, yeah, you should talk about the passages you're trying to memorize. Get them out of your mouth. Talk to people. Get an audio Bible of the same version. So you're working on the memorizing by reading, right, and saying, and now you're going to get another medium. You're going to hear it. Get the same version. My dad once got me a whole set. I do all my memorizing in the New American Standard Bible. And that's not a very common Bible. So he got me the whole CD set of that. It had been quite expensive. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, this is just slightly off. And I realized he got me the 1977 New American Standard Bible, not the 1995, which was what I memorized. They've changed just enough words, you know. So if you're in the NIV, that gets updated so often. You want to get the audio version, the one that you're trying to memorize out of, so that you can, you know, play. You're driving around. You play a little bit, pause it, think about it, try to say it yourself, rewind, play it, pause it. And you just kind of keep doing that through a book. Or if you feel like you got the chapter memorized, you just play it. And you jump in at words where you could remember. And it just is one more way throughout that day. You're thinking about this a lot. What you're doing is you're trying to chew on it all day long. I had a cousin growing up who we'd be like 2 hours after we were done eating. And you'd see like a little carrot still. He's chewing on that thing. I'm like, what is wrong with this guy? He's just chewing on it all day long. That's what you want to do with the scripture. You're just trying to find ways to think about it. And this is, again, where prayer comes in. You're praying, God, help me to think about this throughout this day. This is your technique. This is how you begin to get that Bible stuck in your head, thinking about it all day long. Okay. Next point. Oh, yeah. This is where you get your Deuteronomy 11, right? You're talking of these scriptures when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you rise up. All of them. All right. Humility is going to be very important in your Bible memorization. First of all, in your progress. The first time you get through a section does not mean you have it memorized. Like you've been thinking about it, looking at it, finally you close your eyes and you're able to go through the whole thing. Got it. Done. Moving on. If you don't look at it again tomorrow, you will not be able to go through it. That's okay. Humility. Otherwise, you get discouraged because you're like, man, I worked so hard and I can't remember it. Nobody does. There's stuff that I memorized 10 years ago and I've probably gone over thousands of times, literally, for sure. And if I sat down right now and tried to go through it, I'd miss several words. I think it's memorized. It's enough where I'd call it memorized. But if you just don't look at it, you're going to forget certain things. It's okay. Humility in how far you are. I think there's stages here. There's when you've been able to get through it once. There's when you've been able to go a day without looking at it. There's when you've been able to go a week without looking at it, right? And that's kind of where you want to get. And then even then, you'll go months and come back and you'll need to re-memorize, but it's so edifying, that's okay. As long as you've got humility about that. The other point of humility in progress is you can either get very proud or very ashamed when you look around. Because some of you guys will be able to walk out of here and literally memorize a book in 6 weeks. Others, You'll be 6 months from now working through that one chapter that you did. We're just very differently built here. And if unless you have humility and stop looking around and just say, I'm doing this because of my relationship with God and I'm convinced of all those whys, you'll get real discouraged. Or you'll get, you know, again, real proud and think that you're better. I guess that brings my next point, humility in your understanding. Just because you've got a chapter of the Bible memorized doesn't mean that you understand it better than others. I find myself this way. I'll be sitting in a Bible study and someone will be teaching on Ephesians 1. I'm like, oh, I've got this memorized. Okay, I'm sure that, you know, I could help this person if they would ask me. And then I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, I've never thought of it that way. Oh, yeah. I knew that word for word and I didn't know that, you know. We have to have humility that in fact, what this should mean is we should be so eager for someone to teach us about our chapter that we've memorized. Because you're only going to memorize it better then. You're only going to know it better then. Don't be the teacher. Be the learner. Even in chapters that you've memorized. Humility in where you are spiritually. Joshua 4, that author of Moonwalking with Einstein, talks about how people love people who can remember a lot of stuff. Like your Jeopardy champions. Like just trivial knowledge. You just have this skill of memory. And so you can start to feel like, man, look at me. I'm a lot better than other people because I've memorized so much. And then you just got to memorize 1 Peter and James where he says, God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he will exalt you at the proper time. And we got to strive for this. It's going to be hard, but maintain humility in your memorization. Faith also is going to be key in your memorizing. Most of the time will not be too fun or exciting. All memorizing in the moment is not joyful but sorrowful. And most of the time there will be not clear direct usage. You're going to be reading this passage, you've memorized it, it's not so obvious how to use it. I would just encourage you, try to use it in whatever way you can. Even if it doesn't fit perfectly, because again, once you say it, once you get those words out of your mouth with someone else, you tend to remember it so much better. Look for opportunities to use it whenever you can. All right, got some advanced tips now. All this means is this isn't as important as the other stuff, okay? This is for, you know, you've been trying to memorize for a few months. Maybe look back at this slide because some of this could kick in. These are just things I've thought about as I've tried to memorize. Use the same translation. We already talked about that. Don't memorize sometimes in the NIV, sometimes in the ESV. It's just too hard. Even use the same Bible. You use the same Bible, you start to remember which column the chapter starts, and it's going to help you remember the words then too. It just does work that way. This one's getting a little rough. I'm going to need to buy the exact, I'm going to look on Amazon for the exact same Bible, just newer, so that I don't lose this that I've worked so hard at. But that's one thing. Use the same translation. When re-memorizing, it's often helpful to start at the end of a section. Here's why. Let's say you memorize the book of Philippians. Which chapter are you going to know the best? Because every time you move on to chapter 2, you're going to go back to chapter 1 and do it all again. Then you get chapter 3 down, you go back to chapter 1, 2, 3. Then you get 4 down, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you're done. And so 3 and 4 get so much less work than 1 and 2. And you'll see that. You'll go back through and try to memorize the whole book, and you'll be nailing 1 and 2, and then you'll get to 3 and 4, and it's much more difficult. So sometimes you just start and say, all right, I'm going to re-memorize only chapters 3 and 4 today. And then next time I'm going to only do 2, 3, and 4. And then finally I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4. So you kind of go backwards a little bit just to get equal play among all the chapters. You see why I said this is kind of the not quite as necessary stuff. A balance between exact words and too long on a verse. We've already hit on this, but the idea that I didn't get there for, I did for this reason, who cares? Move on. You got to keep going. Otherwise, you get so bogged down. But at the same time, you are trying to memorize word for word. This isn't just getting the concepts. You are trying to memorize this word for word. There's two passages that I've got memorized: Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. Both of those chapters have about 5 verses on slaves and masters. and they're just a little bit different from each other. And it's so frustrating. I've never put in the time to actually, like, why? What are the actual order of this one? They both just kind of jump into my head, and so they're jumbled together. And I think I memorized Ephesians 10 years ago. I've just never done the work of going back and making sure I get that word for word. Maybe someday, but I don't care that much. It's okay. I don't use those passages enough to do that. I'd rather move on to something else. Maybe someday I'll do it, but at some point you just kind of move on, all right? I kind of got it. It's good enough, and I move on. Pick passages you really like. Is this obvious or what? This is pretty obvious. You don't start in Matthew 1:1 and say, I'm going to memorize the New Testament. You could memorize the whole New Testament eventually, but Matthew 1:1 would be one of the last things you memorize of that, okay? You pick things you actually want. And even more so, like, I really like Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. It's this section where Jesus talks about worry and your body, and God feeds the ravens and clothes the lilies. So I memorized that. It's right in the middle of a chapter. I didn't memorize what's before. I didn't memorize what's after. I'm the master. The Bible memorizing plan is the servant. So I'm going to pick what I like, and I'm going to skip other things. That's, you get to choose that. Just pick what you really think about a lot and memorize that. You got to repeat, 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 repeat. That's going to be the biggest thing you're doing. You're just going to say it over and over again. But the good news is it's the Word of God, so you might as well. I skip closings. So I would call Colossians a book that I've got memorized. It's only four chapters. In the fourth chapter, two-thirds of the chapter are greetings. And I can't walk you through any of it. So I guess I honestly, that's a pretty large chunk of that book. I guess I don't have the book memorized in that sense, but I don't care. Who am I trying to impress here? I've got the flow of the book memorized, and that's been helpful for me in my personal study and helping others. I'm never going to go through and learn why Tychicus was sent and how justice is coming, and it's just not worth my time. It's inspired, it's scripture, but so there's a lot of other scripture that's more beneficial. So I just skip those. Maybe you're not going to. That's what I do. Some sections are much more difficult than others, and it's good to think about this so you don't get so discouraged. When I was memorizing the book of Galatians, it took me probably literally 10 times as long to do chapters 3 and 4 as 5 and 6. 3 and 4 is this really tense, deep theology, a lot of Old Testament quotes. I don't quite understand why a lot of the verses are in there. I fought that passage for months trying to learn those two chapters. And 5 and 6 felt like a breeze because it's stuff that a lot of verses already knew, fruit of the Spirit, set free by Christ. There's stuff like that in there, bearing with one another's burdens. And so if you think of it that way, you won't get quite as discouraged when you're really hung up. I think the most difficult passage I've ever memorized was this sixth section in Romans 5, verses 15 to 21. For the free gift is not like the transgression. For by the transgression of the one, the many died. By the free gift of others. But the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. I still don't have most of it down. It's so difficult. It's repeated themes, but slightly different words. I don't know why he uses the words he uses. And so I've just kind of moved on. That one's conquered me. I've given up. Maybe someday I'll understand it and I'll memorize it, but I've moved on. Lastly, this is really minor. Okay, if you're ready to zone out for a minute, zone out. Look for chiastic structure versus normal outline. You will see this. A chiasm is where you have A, B, C, C, B, A. And so the author makes a point, subpoint, and then kind of works his way back versus a normal outline, A, B, C, A, B, C. It's kind of minor, like I said, but you'll see this quite a bit by the authors, and it helps you remember the next clause coming up. So for instance, in Galatians 3:16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say to his seeds as referring to many. Then he works his way back, but rather to one, not many, but one, to your seed, not seeds, Christ, instead of Abraham and the seed, ABC, CBA. And you kind of think of it that way, and it helps you remember the clause that are coming up. Don't think too hard about it now, but I promise you will notice this when you're memorizing. Versus, for instance, the chapter after that, it is written that Abraham had two sons, A, one by the bondwoman, B, one by the free woman. A, the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. B, the son of the free woman through the praise. So as you're going through and trying to remember, you'll think, okay, this was a normal outline one. I remember he just kind of goes back and forth there. It helps you to remember. All right. There's your advanced memorization tips. Just where to go from here. Like I said, if you want a real beneficial place to start, maybe Psalm 1 would be your place. It's about the benefits of memorizing. It's really edifying for that reason. Psalm 23, also just 6 verses. It's the Lord is my shepherd. It's a well-known one. It's really good to think about God's role in our lives, his love for us. If you're like, well, give me a little more. I want a little bit longer of a section. What about John 15, 1 through 17? The vine and the branches. What if you had that passage circulating in your head all day for a few weeks, right? That would be pretty useful. Take it on. Give it a shot. You're like, give me a chapter. I want a whole chapter. I found, for whatever reason, the book of James pretty, compared to other things, pretty easy to memorize. I don't know why. Maybe it's his structure. Maybe I think like him. But it's got a lot of good stuff in that chapter, and it's doable. You could do it. You're like, give me a little more than a chapter. How about Ephesians 1:1 through 2:10, where you're trying to memorize all the rich blessings we have in Christ? Chapter 2, 1 through 10. If I had a non-Christian say, just walk me through the main message of the Bible in 10 verses, I would take them to Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. It's the depravity, the sin. It's what Christ has done. It's what God's asking us to do now. It's so succinct and good. It'd be a good passage to know. If you're like, all right, I want to take on a book. I want to try to memorize a book of the Bible. I'd go with Philippians. It's 4 chapters. It's a nice mix of theology and narrative. So it kind of jumps back and forth. It's not like repeated words that are hard to, he said a little different this time. And you get many memorable verses that become kind of landmarks. You'll see Philippians has a lot of verses you've heard before. And a landmark is nice. You know, okay, I'm right about in the middle of chapter 3. I think he's just about to get to that thing. I've counted all things as loss for Christ. And it'll help you. It bridges kind of your memorizing. So a book like Philippians will be a pretty nice place to start. All right. That's all I've got. There's your summary of the how. We've got a few minutes here for any questions people have. Yes, right here.
Just comes alive. You know.
That's right. Connected to something practical. Joshua 1:8 would be a good verse to be praying through quite a bit as well when you're going through this. Yes. It's another technique. I like it. I would again just caution. Pray against doing this by rote for the no other sake than memorizing it. And instead of, I want the understanding, I want the usefulness of this, I want the nearness to God through this. And then techniques are good. And I do think music is good. We do a lot with our, they have a lot of children's songs that are just straight scripture, and we listen to those with our kids. I love it. It's getting scripture in their mind. I think it's great. Yes? Book and chapter. If you know that, you're going to find the verse. If you're just like, well, it's in Ephesians somewhere, I don't think that's as good as it's in Ephesians 2. And if you can remember the verse, I think it's great. But I just think there's a difference between, again, it's similar to the point we made earlier. I'll get to that later, maybe. I know it's in Ephesians 2, and I know this is what it says. Next time around, it's actually Ephesians 2:10. Okay, that's better. I think it's better, but you gotta, if you want to do a lot, you gotta have a good pace. You gotta go at a rate that you can actually take it all in. Okay, we got 2 more here. Go ahead, Brandon. It goes back to that point that understanding helps Bible memorization. It's both ways. My memorization helps my understanding, but my understanding also helps my memorization. And so the more I can understand this flow, these paragraphs, better. All right, last one here. Thank you very much. Agreed. I think if you're like, if I'm teaching and I say in Ephesians 2, it says we've been created for good works, which God prepared beforehand. If a teacher said that, I wouldn't be like, he didn't say verse 10. What on earth? You know, it's good enough in that sense. Now, it is better to then eventually get the verse. And I see what you're saying. I can actually open it up with the person and walk it through. That's even better, too. All right. That's enough. I'll pray us down here. Lord, thanks again for the word. Thanks for helping these guys to persevere, to make it through this workshop. I pray for us to continue to take the Bible seriously. Help us to be workers who don't need to be ashamed, but are really fighting to accurately handle the word of truth. And we pray for just increased Bible memorization among all people here in this room. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.